PHP BB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcasts.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 34. PHP BB3 is getting closer and closer. The countdown is getting more exciting. And so as hosts of a podcast that talks all about PHP BB, we need to keep on feeling the excitement and get the impatience going and all that stuff. That's our job. And so that's what we're going to continue doing today. I am your co-host, Douglas Bell, joining me as well. As my other co-host,
David Lewis, known as Highway of Life.
Hello, David.
Yeah, I got lost there for a second.
That's okay. And so this is the show, of course, where we talk all about PHP BB. If you haven't guessed that already, we are supposed to have a special guest with us today, PHP BB developer David M.J., we were hoping to have on, but we weren't able to 100% confirm that he would be able to show up. More like an 85, 86, 87% confirmed. So we're going to try to find out where he is and hopefully get him on the show before we have to close it up in about an hour or so. So let's just cross our fingers and I'll keep an eye on it. If you hear me typing, that'll be probably me trying to negotiate with him.
Negotiate his contract before he talks to him.
Yes, we're going to pay him nothing to come on the show. That's what we're going to try to do. Anyway, so if not, we'll probably come up with some other interesting thing, and we'll probably get him on a future episode as well. We've got some great people in the chat room today, sort of an invasion of the team members, so to speak. Of which you are one, David, so we're going to have to figure that out. This will be a hard show, even if David MJ does come on, because we have David Lewis, and we'd have David MJ. And so I kind of get a little stuck up there. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, you might just have to refer to us as Highway of Life and David MJ.
maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out if he shows up. This podcast is not affiliated with the PHP BB teams. This is a podcast sort of done outside the scope of the PHP BB teams, although we aren't going to give away any secrets, so to speak. If you would like to hear, listen to a podcast by the PHP BB teams, you can check out the official PHP BB podcast at podcast.phpbb.com, which you guys just got the website back up for.
Yes, we did, Noel. We talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah.
And some of the things there. But,
went to that's the site last week, and it was giving me, hello, doesn't look like you've installed WordPress yet. It's like, yeah. Okay, I'll tell Michael about that. There it goes.
Are you referring to the official podcast?
Official podcast, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were referring to the downtime of the phpbb.com.
No, phpbb.com doesn't use WordPress, obviously.
Yeah.
So just a little bit of business to go through. If you would like to be a part of the show, this is a live show that we record on every Saturday. You can feel free to call in. The number is 724-444-7444. The TalkCast ID number is 12418. You do not have to be a TalkShoe member to call in, although it's a little bit beneficial. Of course, if you are a TalkShoe member, you can also come into the chat room in TalkShoe Live, which is a free download from TalkShoe.com. And if you're there, you can also use Shoe Phone to call in without having to incur any long-distance charges, which is a nice little advantage indeed. It's for you to enjoy. Okay, and to start out today, we'll do this is something we started 2 weeks ago. We didn't get to do one last week because we got caught off guard from TalkShoe. They TalkShoe, without warning us until halfway through the episode, as you know, did a hardware move during our show, which was kind of annoying. So, but we're doing a PHP.
And what made it even worse was what made it even worse was the fact that I was trying to do the podcast while driving in the rain.
Yes. Now it's raining here in San Francisco, so there you go. So we needed the rain. So we had an interesting episode last week. It's probably got a little technical, so we'll see how this week's show goes. But we started 2 weeks ago a trivia question on PHP BB Weekly, which is a little something fun for the team, for the live participants to be able to do. And the first person to come up with the answer we'll note down, and we might do something special for them in the future. However, David, just to fix something that we did 2 weeks ago, if someone posts the answer, we're not going to mention it live on the show till the end of the episode, okay? Just gonna,
right.
People who do not listen live listen to the podcast. We started wondering what the heck we're talking about in the middle there, so
don't worry about that. We get so many team members listening that last week it was Paul. It's like, well, wait a second, you're a team member.
So it might not exactly be fair. I'm trying to pick some old ones, so maybe even the team members won't know about them. So this week's question, name the date, including the year, that former development team leader Paul Owen announced a new pricing structure for PHP BB. You guys can get to work on that. We'll announce the answer at the end of the show. Okay, so we are still waiting for David MJ to show up, hopefully. So I've got, before we get to anything, I got some listener feedback I wanted to mention. Matt S. sent me an email about a week ago to PHP Weekly offering a suggestion regarding asking when the podcast comes out. Because we do mention we do mostly spend our time advertising that you can listen to the podcast live. I wanted to thank him for his suggestion. That PHP BB Weekly, I technically try to get it out on the next day. So our episodes usually come out on Sunday. And he said, because there's a lot of people who start wondering where the released podcast version of the show is. So that will usually come out on the next day. And in fact, I'm actually working on a new version of the PHP BB Weekly website, one that sort of cleans up there's a lot of blubber on the current website. You know, you go to our website, phpbbweekly.net, first thing you see is a whole bunch of text, like, this is a show, this is how you join it, this is. So I want to definitely be working on that, and I'll be sure to mention the show comes out on a podcast every Sunday. And then, I don't know if you saw this, David. In the comments for our last episode, number 33, Techie Michael actually wrote a very long comment where he talks about the DDoS thing that we talked briefly about last week.
DDoS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says, to briefly explain, when you do code audits, you more or less have two choices, which is being involved from the beginning, which is planning all the way through release and then after release, or having a stable code base that doesn't change. And so, but essentially, he says that you really cannot do very much to mitigate or to completely prevent DDoS attacks. You can only do some things to mitigate it and sort of find ways to handle DDoS.
Yeah. One thing that Techie Michael's really been good at is he's been involved in the security team on phpbb.com. Uh-huh. He was one of the initial guys that kind of got that whole thing started, and he's been one of the really one of the guys that's been in charge of that whole thing, and so he has a lot of knowledge with security and issues regarding security. And in fact, one of the things that we're going to talk about today, he actually mentioned in episode number 26, a lot of the changes that were made between RC5 and RC6 were done from the security audit for PHPBB3. And one of the things that I was talking about last week was that the form tokens would prevent bots from getting into forms. Now, this is entirely correct. Remember, I was driving in the rain while trying to do the podcast, so it didn't That's not entirely correct. The correct answer on that is those forms are the tokens for the forms are to prevent CSRF or XSRF forgery, which is cross-site request forgery. Mm-hmm. And again, Techie Michael actually talked about that on episode number 26. So if you want to hear more details about what that does, he does mention that. It's basically what that is. It's known as session writing. It writes the sessions of websites that have authenticated users. So to give some of our non-tech listeners a more real-world example.
Yeah, we had someone before the show started, I think it was Jeffro, saying that all the technical stuff recently has been sort of making his mind blow up, although he's been learning something.
Yeah, here's sort of a non-technical point of view. Hopefully this will kind of get everybody else to understand. Okay, imagine the scenario. You are on your bank's website. Okay, so you've logged into your bank, and you're checking your account balance, and a friend, or you get a link that says, you know, hey, check out the picture of this or whatever, and you go click on it, and it's an innocent-looking link. You view the picture, but on the page, there is an iframe that submits a script to a form on your bank's website. Basically, it can use your browser to perform an action to the website which you are already authenticated on, in this case, your bank. And you might be, whatever the action may be, it might be withdrawal or something else. But an authenticated website, so it's exploiting the trust that websites have for an authenticated user. And it's writing the session by submitting a script through a form that somebody may be visiting unknowingly. And basically, that's how that works. So the page is doing that with your session and token, which has already been authenticated. Now your friend has your money too to buy other nice shiny little things. So hopefully that'll kind of give more of a real world example. And this CSRF is not like XSS in a sense that XSS is cross site scripting.
Yes.
Cross site scripting is more of a it's a type of computer security vulnerability which allows code injections by malicious scripts or users into the web pages viewed by other users.
Uh-huh.
So that's basically the difference, where CSRF, I think, is a little bit more difficult to exploit, but it can be more dangerous because it's exploiting already authenticated users through their browser. Mm-hmm. So, and again, you can, if you want to get more technical on that, you can listen to episode number 26 where Michael discusses that.
Yeah, that was a very technical episode for us. Another, as long as we're talking about system security stuff, another one that affects many mod authors concerns, and I'll try, that if you do not, if you're not careful enough to do a lot of cleaning up and protecting of certain variables, it's actually possible, and just to put this again for the non-technical audience, sometimes when you go to PHPBB forums, you'll see that you get a whole bunch of things at the end of the URL, which is like, you know, and PM equals inbox, and things like that. You'll see it on a number of websites. One of the things that you have to be careful of in security is it, for people who might take advantage of those little things at the end of the URLs, to put in, you know, database queries. And so if you aren't careful as a mod author to protect from that, someone can actually hack into your database through there.
Yeah.
As long as we were talking about, something I was going to ask about, is the incident investigation team still going on?
Yes, they look into issues continuously, you know, because you might have a user who is like, oh, my board has been hacked or whatever, and they'll post on the board, and we'll take that, we'll remove it, and say, okay, post your problem in the security investigation team tracker, in the security tracker, basically, and then the security team takes a look at it and checks to see what the problem is, and nearly, I would say most have been cPanel exploits, where they exploit cPanel to get into your site, and then they deface your website, including the board that PHPBB2 was on.
Is cPanel just insecure, or is... I have cPanel on a number of hosts, and I've never had any problems with cPanel.
cPanel is insanely popular. Remember, anytime you have a software that is extremely popular, you're going to have an extreme number of people building exploits for it.
Case in point,
trying
Windows.
To find vulnerabilities. Exactly. It's like Windows XP or Windows Vista. People are trying to find exploits of it because 85% of computer users use that operating system. So you have a high chance of basically finding an exploit in somebody if you're performing an exploit on a software that nearly everybody uses. Whereas if you try to find an exploit on something that nearly nobody uses, it doesn't do you as a hacker any good.
Reminds me of an example of, now this is a little off topic, but just to sort of illustrate it. Back in June, I think it was, when Apple decided to move their Safari browser to Windows, and were gloating about how, it's so secure, we've never had a problem with it. They put it on Windows. Within 8 hours, hackers figure out how to hack Safari on Windows.
Right.
It really does show that the reason it had never gotten a hurt on the Mac side was because people just don't use Macs as much, believe it or not. And so there weren't as many people trying to attack it.
Right, it's because you have, on the Mac side, the Mac operating system is protecting the system.
Yeah.
Because the operating system itself is protecting the system, whereas on Windows, the operating system has no protection whatsoever. And so the browsers have to offer that protection themselves. And that's why IE 6 and 7 have so many vulnerabilities, and Firefox has battled to keep up with their security updates and them and Opera, I believe, are going to be the most secure out of those two. One thing that Marshall Rusty mentioned in the chat was that cPanel is as unsecure as anything else. If you use outdated versions, it's going to be vulnerable. And the same goes for PHPBB, the PHP language. So if you're using like an outdated version of PHP 4 or PHP 3, it's going to be vulnerable. If you're using a newer version like PHP 5, it has security enhancements, security improvements. People haven't found the exploits, if there are any, for it yet. So that's why it's always a good idea to make sure you're as upgraded as you can be.
Okay,
and even with cPanel, a lot of people you'll find who are having the vulnerabilities or having their site hacked is because their version of cPanel is outdated.
Okay, we started talking about Mac versus Windows, so we should clarify. Now, David and I are, just to be for the record, both Mac users, whereas the majority of the PHPBB using population uses Windows, obviously. So now we could get into an argument, and I don't want us to get into an argument about how secure is the Mac versus the Windows. But definitely one of the things that is in there we recognize is that Mac only has a 7% market share, so definitely everyone's going to go for the Windows side. So I'm sure if the tables were evened a bit, then they would both have issues. As Jeffro said, the Windows ones just take the spotlight these days. Let's not get into that.
I wanted my opportunity to get Marshall Rusty back. He and I are always debating Mac versus PC.
This is what goes on. It is a glimpse of what goes on behind the public veil of the teams, back in the back IRC chat rooms.
Yeah, you thought we were talking about real good things like security for PHPBB and mod improvements and coding and support issues. No, we discuss Mac versus PC. That's the favorite topic.
Yes. Reminds me of my days when I was on the team. And those were not the best days of my life, so to speak.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
You actually like it.
I get to harass everybody on there.
David, what are you doing now? Hold on.
You know I get enjoyment out of that. Yeah, Neothermic goes, being a team member is fun.
We don't have wives, you know. Just don't get your superiors upset. Neothermic is now a team leader. We should get Neothermic to join us for an episode one of these days. Now the support team leader now. So that's very good to know. Very useful. The only thing I wasn't pleased with his Neothermic was back when the style was a super, the Pro Silver style was a super big secret, and she did these like teaser style things and did all these jokes to kind of, to aggravate everybody who wanted to see the real style.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Neothermic has these world domination plans, which we're trying to, which is this inner team battle right now. So,
oh come on! Everyone thinks Google is the one that came up with world domination plans. The PHPBB teams were there before Google was.
And even, and Google their kind plans of abandoned are still me. Their plans are still being worked out. See, we're conquering Mars first.
Well, Birdie's almost there. Birdie's almost there. Yes, we should have an episode where we just talk about Birdie. Just one episode about Birdie and nothing but. See if we can get Jonathan Stanley back on to talk about.
We'll
Birdie.
Do. We'll, yeah, he'll do. Get to know Birdie.
Yeah,
get to know Birdie episode.
It's an important part of the PHPBB community. Okay, so
now you. Yeah, all right. Back on topic.
If you haven't figured it out, we are filling time until we can find out where the heck David MJ is and if we can get him on the show.
So, oh come on, you're giving us away. you know, in the RC6 release, which, by the way, for those listeners who don't know, RC6 looks like it's going to be released this weekend. They changed the config value to RC6 dev to RC6.
Yeah, if you've been looking at the look out. Check-ins. They just this morning they made a number of like things really much hinting that RC6 is on the way. So probably a day or two speculation.
I'm assuming they're wanting to check and make sure things like the auto updater works properly. And,
yeah, because as you said like last week, it's going to be a big update to get to RC6.
Right, it is because there. I don't know. Let's see how many changes were made. But let me take a quick look. There are no less than 17. Security improvements in the RC6 release.
Uh-huh.
17 security improvements. And a total of 58 changes, which include those 17 security improvements. So, let's see. There are... I'll find these for you. There are a total of... 28 bug fixes.
Uh-huh.
17 security fixes.
Uh-huh.
8 changes and how many features? Because they changed some of the features for the hook system, uh-huh. And there are a total of 5 added features.
Yeah.
To all that, so a total of. 58 changes and all of that, changes, features, and fixes.
Right, okay,
and
Gary, we'll be politically correct. Security improvements.
Yes, security improvements.
The IRC channel is #PHPBB, not #PHPBB.
By the way, when you call in to talk to, it says dial your PIN number, then pound, and then it says enter the talkcast ID, then pound.
So what?
So.
Come on!
They hassled you pretty good over at.
I know. I like hash browns. They're delicious, so I'll go with hash. You know, hash browns with deep fried pickle hearts. You got the idea. Oh boy! Oh, they're not saving this episode now. Okay, you were saying, David.
Yeah. So in this, as everybody knows, if they want to go see some of the changes and security improvements that have been made to RC6, those are in the changelog. Most of them have to do with fixing potential cross-site scripting attacks or vulnerabilities in the code, and also the cross-site request forgery, which was through the form tokens. That was the rather major change. There was also a ton of changes, like I mentioned last week, that nearly every file has been touched with just taking some white spaces out, I believe.
Yeah.
So it made reading through the code a little bit difficult last week, but I tried to touch on pretty much all the major changes that would affect mod authors. And
well,
there's some
white space isn't that much of a major change. Granted, it's probably a change that should have should have taken place I would think it should have taken place during the development phase of the betas, but what can you do?
Yeah, it's not that much of a major change, but nearly every file was changed, and so it could cause some conflict with the diff updater or something like that, I imagine. And especially like with installing mods, because you might have, for example, in your mod X, you might be searching for a line that includes the white space at the end, and when that user goes to search for that line, they can't find it because it has a white space at the end. And that's why I always encourage, when you're creating your mod X file, to put in the find field, trim your end white spacing especially. And also it's encouraged to do your beginning white space so that it's most compatible with other mods that may change that and also future updates. You want your finds to be as small and unique as possible when you're creating a mod, so that you have the least likelihood of a conflict with a future version of PHPPV3 and other mods.
Actually, Neothermic has dialed in and was interested in being on the show. So should I bring her in? Hello, Neothermic. Hello, Neothermic. Oh,
I don't think it's not dialed in.
Oh well. Oh well. We'll have to deal with it. Okay. So, sorry about that. The stream stopped. And she's down. Okay, well, I know TalkShoe can sometimes be a little strange. We'll have to deal with it.
Okay. Yeah, some of the things that we wanted to discuss with David and Jay, and hopefully we'll be able to get him on a future episode. I know next week we have You're Out next week, and then I think the following week it's going to be a short episode. We might have to just bring him on for that short episode or something.
We'll see. It depends how fast they decide to get gold over. We'll figure it out. Yeah, next week I have to take a test at 8 a.m. in the morning. You know, this is just the wonderful thing of junior year in high school. So, however, I believe we worked it out where David's brother Francis, better known as Handyman, will be taking my spot and co-hosting the show along with David. And so that will be taking place. The following week, I will be here, although I might have to leave like at least around if not 50 minutes to an hour after the show starts. So it'll be a short show. We won't have a real long topic, mostly like the latest news and then the mod of the week, style of the week, and any calls and questions, and then that's it. So you get the idea. Handyman is David's brother.
Yeah. There were some suggestions in there, but Marshall Rusty just said that we should discuss what is the internet and how does it work. And the reason I don't think we should discuss that is because if you've downloaded this internet or this podcast, then you've already figured that out.
Huh. Really? No kidding.
Neothermic says,
that's right. The internet, according to Senator Ted Stevens, it's a series of tubes.
Yeah.
And PHPBB has clogged up so many tubes that it's not even funny how many tubes they've clogged up on the internet, you know.
one of the things Neothermic says is, I don't quite understand why you lot don't just use Skype. And the reason we don't use Skype is because this is a live participation show, mm-hmm. and through Skype you can't have as many people streaming or joining in the TalkShoe client as you do with the TalkShoe. And although the quality of it, it's not that great, It still allows us to do the live participation with the people, and then you can download it like any other podcast later on, which has the full quality.
I actually called in to talk to you through Skype, so there you go. cost me some money, but it works.
Yeah. Yeah, you can call in through Skype, but we're doing it off of TalkShoe because of the live participation factor, and sometimes we have quite a few people, especially when we have guests on, like WG Eric or Techie Michael, or I think we had quite a few on when we had Marshall Rusty.
Now, the fact that we use TalkShoe is one of the big complaints that I've gotten from people, because I will agree TalkShoe doesn't always work as well as you'd like to. But you gotta remember that, first of all, they are a new service. This thing's only been out about a year. They're still trying to get their scaling and their servers taken care of. It's a lot better than it was when we actually got started on the show. About it's been like 9 months since we started PHP BB Weekly. So if we were to do Skype only, and we've done that once or twice, well, you know, I'm assuming that the official PHP BB podcast is Skype only. So essentially, we kind of have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I like about being able to do it here on TalkShoe is that it really does include the community aspect of PHP BB, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, this is driving me crazy. We have almost every major team member in the chat room now, except for the one who is supposed to be our special guest, Eric. WG Eric just came into the chat room to listen to us now, but we cannot. And Kellen Ved is here. And
hey, maybe we can have a Kellen Ved on. We were supposed to have a David MJ, but maybe we can have him on if he wants to dial in.
Yeah.
That's Henry, for those who don't know.
Yes.
Henry, that's up to you if you want to join the show. We have plenty of questions for you that we would have asked David MJ.
Yes.
But we're kind of keeping them under wraps until he either shows up or if you want to hop in.
I just checked the time. We have at least 30 minutes of blubber now on the show taken care of while we wait to see if David MJ... is alive. Okay, we're getting David MJ a bad rap. Honestly, actually the reason that he's not here is probably mostly our fault. It's not really his fault. We thought, actually, here's kind of how it works. David, you came up with the idea last week, you know, at the end of the show, to have David MJ be on the show. And
yeah.
While I was editing it, I kind of thought, you know, this would be a good idea. Especially since the next two shows are going to have to be not as long as our normal shows. So I said, okay, you can have him on. And I told you that, and then we decided to put it up on the site. And then 2 days ago, you said, did you send him an invitation? I said, no, I thought you invited him. I thought you were the one who said he was going to be on. So
I suggested it. I suggested we have him, but I didn't actually confirm with him.
So we get to the
when
point
we were going
to
actually do it.
We get to the point where both of us thought the other person had invited David MJ to come on the show. So, yeah. I sent David MJ a private message saying, okay, we thought we had invited you already. Would you be able to be on the show? He replies back saying he'd be interested, but he would have to get back to me on if he would be able to be on or not. He didn't get back to me. I sent him a PM about 40 minutes ago or so, but he is not online. I've sort of been trying to interrogate him through IRC, but he's not there. But the reason he's not here, it's our fault. It's not his fault. So we deserve the blame, and he does not deserve any of the bad rap we've been giving him for the last 32 minutes.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, if you guys in the chat room would like to ask us anything or have us talk anything about PHPBB, please just type it and we will fill up our time with that. That is our sad sob story.
There is a good topic. See, now we should bring Handyman on for that topic. SEO with PHPBB3, you know, he's doing the SEO URLs.
You've got him on next week, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about... Jeffro, we'll talk about that next week because I'm going to have Handyman on with me next week because Douglas will be out. Douglas hates it when I invite a guest from the teams on when Douglas is away.
I like to talk to the team members. They're old friends of mine, most of them.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, yeah, especially when I invited WG Eric, he goes, no, I'm not going to be on the show that week. So we had to postpone WG Eric's for a couple of weeks. But
yeah. You know, WG Eric is my old mentor from when I was on the team. Whenever I got in trouble, he kind of helped me get out of it. And I got in trouble a lot of the teams. All right, this is turning into the Douglas's confessions about everything bad he did when he was on the PHPBB teams episode. Okay.
Yes, it is a little mod, actually.
You're getting that? Okay, go ahead and tell us about that.
Something I forgot to mention that I did want to mention, a lot of mod authors are saying, hey, why is my mod so long in the queue right now? I remember that there's been a lot of core changes with PHP v3, and some of the mod authors are mod team members. What happened with those changes and what kind of changes those would be. So because they could invalidate some mods, and they actually did, and my ACP add user mod needs to be updated because it affected a lot of that particular mod, such as the way that passwords are hashed now is a specific function now in PHP v3, so it stores passwords differently. The form, actually, I don't think it affects forms for the administration side, and maybe Kelvin will correct me on that. If there's actually any of the form token verifications that are added. He said that the new function understands MD5, so transitions may be very smooth. Yes, though it does use the MD5 hash function for creating new passwords. So I'm not sure if that's going to break anybody's... yes, I know, Calvin. I was just wondering if you wanted to correct me on that. I wasn't sure if it would break anybody's board by not allowing the user to log in after they created the user or not, but that's just some of the things that we're looking for. A lot of the different changes, and especially forms, all of the templates have been touched just a little bit, adding either form tokens or changing the password password fields for administration authentication. So, like for example, if you're trying to log into the administration control panel, the name fields for the password and username are dynamic, so that your browser does not auto-complete those form fields, and that's an added security measure just to make sure that you are the one who re-authenticates into the administration panel. Basically prevents things like Firefox from auto-completing those forms to log into the administration panel. And some people brought up the issue of, hey, shouldn't the moderator control panel have a second authentication method? And the answer is no, because the actions that you can perform in the moderator control panel are not detrimental. If somebody who is not truly a moderator had access to that, it would not be, it's not that bad. Whereas the administration control panel, you can change a lot of things about the board, and so it's a lot, the things in the administration control panel are a lot more, they're a lot more sensitive to that sort of thing. And so that's why there's second authentication for the administration control panel, whereas the moderator control panel doesn't need it. And it would just affect users in a negative way because it would be really frustrating as a moderator to have to re-authenticate before you actually use the moderator control panel, which is used quite often by more people than the administration panel is. And so that's basically the reasoning behind that, and hopefully that addresses that issue.
Jeff Rowe in the chat room is requesting to talk, so I'm going to bring him on. Hello, Jeff Rowe.
Hello, you nutty bunch.
Oh, we are nutty today, aren't we? We're kind of nuts. I like peanuts.
In the last episode, you guys brought up a touchy subject about private messaging and people snooping around the admins being able to access private messages and whatnot, and David was talking about how you could just download the database and see the data right there. And I run a vBulletin software, and I downloaded the SQL database, and right within the table it was right there. So I'm wondering, will the PHP VB team install an option to enable people to maybe encrypt that table, or do you think that could be supplemented with a mod?
Hey, David, you want to answer that?
Yeah,
Yuri wants to answer too.
Yeah, Marsha Rusty, if you're called in, do you want to unmute Marsha Rusty, because he does have a good answer for this one?
I'll get him on. Hold on, as soon as my. All right, hello Yuri, take the answer for us. Yuri,
you're on.
Can't hear him. Oh well, David, I guess that means it's up to you.
Okay. Well, basically, first of all, the PHPBB3 does not encrypt the private messages, and currently there is no option to automatically encrypt those private messages. It's the same as, like, for example, if I'm a server administrator, and I can both view my database, any database on my server, as well as the mail logs in my server. So I can go, technically I could go in and actually read people's email messages going in and out of my server, but those email messages are private. That doesn't mean I don't have the ability to do it, and the same stance would be for the private messages and in the fact that they're there in the database, but you have to be a server administrator to be able to see them, lest you install a mod that enables you to see them. But yes, you could also install a mod that would encrypt it and then maybe decrypt it on the output. I don't personally think that would be terribly necessary, as, you know, some people say, well, is it really private unless you do that? Yes, it is private because it's just like the PBX analogy that I gave. Go ahead and unmute Marshall Rusty there,
okay.
Douglas, if you can. Are you there, Yuri?
Hello, can you guys hear
me
now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, great. That was a little issue with the cable.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think you basically just covered everything. I went as far as to look up the definition of private online and actually post the definition in that topic in the discussion forum. And basically, it is private because it is between several people. It's not public, right? If it's not public, then it's private. So that's about it. But with regards to reading PMs, I don't think that will ever be a standard feature. Personally, I will even be against making it as a mod, although, of course, we have no control over that. If someone wants to do that, they can do that. But I see no reason at all for users to, unless, for instance, someone says that they received a PM from someone else saying, you know, whatever, and then that person denies it. But then you know exactly what you're looking for. So you go right to that table, you look for the specific PM, and you look at the wording. So, you know, so that's a little different. If you have permission from one of the people who either, you know, received or sent the PM, then that's okay.
Now, one thing I would...
Otherwise...
Oh, go ahead. Finish.
Okay,
one thing I would reiterate that I mentioned last week is that it would be a good idea to, as an administrator of a board, to write up a privacy policy for your users, telling them what you will and won't do with things like their personal information and their profile, and things like private messages and things like that. And definitely, I do not think that PHPBB would also put a thing like in the administration panel for someone to be able to easily go through and take a look at things like private messages. But then again, you know, if you send a piece of mail out to somebody, well, it's going through the post office, and theoretically someone at the post office could open it and read it. So it really is it is an interesting debate, though. How far do you really get as far as a private messaging system?
Well, I think
No, I'm just saying, when it comes right down to it, it just comes to a personal morale issue is what it really ultimately comes down to.
Yeah.
Douglas actually just hit the nail on the head with what he said with regards to, the question is, where do you draw the line? So the issue in that topic that I think was what started the whole question and the whole discussion in the first place is that that we imply that the private messaging system is private by naming it the private message system. And that's fine, but for some reason they think that, you know, we've stepped over some sort of ethical line with actually telling users what to do by calling it private messaging. And I don't see that. I think as long as there is no feature to read private messages, it's still private, just like anything else.
In fact, this is something that people, even if you're following here in the United States, our own government is currently discussing, where to draw the line between people, between the government wiretapping phone calls and intercepting emails and things like that. Where do you draw the line? Because anything that's supposed so-and-so private, there are ways that other people can tap into it.
Right, and the definition of private is is between two people, and that doesn't mean the third couldn't go in and look at it, but it means that it's not open to the public. It's not open to multiple eyes. It's not, you know, everybody can't go in there and look at private messages sent between two parties. And that's really the definition of private in this case. And whether we named it private message to user message, it wouldn't matter. It has it has by default an implementation of, or a, it basically, it's saying that the system is private by default.
Right, and whether or not we're implying that really has no effect. It really doesn't matter. If you don't want it to be private, then just change it on your own board, just like you would change anything else.
Right.
So I think if someone makes a mod to read private messaging, I think they should also change what the feature is called, and they should add notes to the privacy policy, or make a privacy policy, the registration agreement, even the private messaging window itself, just that page should have a disclaimer on top saying, you know, the administrator has full access to this, and they do read it. So
yeah.
I think if you install that mod, you're implying that you're going to use it.
I agree. So, and also the fact that, you know, one thing that I could hear modders saying is, well, would the mod team approve a mod that allowed administrators to read private messaging? Well, I'm sure it will be up for debate when or if that mod is ever submitted, but there will be a lot of things taken into consideration, such as if that mod does indeed change the name of the private messaging system, and if it does add the notes to the privacy policy. Now, the privacy policy does cover some stuff by default, doesn't it, Marshall RC?
You mean the registration agreement?
Yeah, the privacy policy
does. Yeah, it does. It says basically that anything that happens outside the administrator's control, such as, you know, an exploit, something along those lines, that they're not responsible for that. And that's all. That's kind of a very vague statement. There's nothing specific. So in terms of whether or not it would stand up in a legal case, in a court or something like that, you know, that's up to debate, especially if you're going to kind of be protected by that. In terms of, I mean, the bottom line, anything you put online is only private to an extent. Security is a goal. It's not, it's not it's kind of a concept. You don't actually get there at any point. So, because obviously PHPBB is only the software. There's also PHP. There's other things installed on the software. You know, we ourselves, that is PHPBB.com, had an issue. You know, you never really know what it is that you have on the server. Whether or not it's secure. So, yes,
really
someone could break in and go right for your private message that you sent yesterday to your friend Bob about the affair you had with his wife, you know, and then that could get out on the internet, and then you could blame PHPBB, but that would be very wrong. So,
now, one thing I would suggest, and this is sort of my recommendations for why there shouldn't be an encrypt PMs mod, and I know Neil Thermick's now saying that he's going to make a encrypt PMs mod. But
well,
if
you have an encrypt PMs mod, you're going to have to be able to decrypt it.
Yeah,
exactly.
As long as you can decrypt it, it's still not completely private.
But just to,
not private at all. If a hacker has access to your database, then he has access to the decryption codes.
In that case, does that mean that a hacker could supposedly decrypt passwords?
No, the passwords are hashed. They're not encrypted. Hashed means that they are one. They're, you know, it's a one-way encryption. It's not. It cannot be decrypted.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for I learn something new every day. Every episode I learn something new. But as I was going to say, suppose you have a case where someone is using the private message system to harass another user or to spam another user or to do something like that. That might be a scenario where you actually would want to have access to see through in the database the private messages coming out of this particular user. To sort of verify that indeed that person has been using the system for bad purposes.
Yeah, and in that case,
I didn't mention that.
Yeah, in that case, you don't need to put something in a privacy policy because you're investigating an incident. It would be the same as the government going in to look
actually
at
getting
your
a warrant
email service
for the wiretap,
to,
yeah.
or to do a wiretap or what's called a legal intercept on a PBX call. And
well, you have to be careful with that because depending on where you are in the world, I'm not really familiar, and I actually found this out recently, that I'm not too familiar with international law. But just in terms of the United States, which I am familiar with, different states have different policies about that. For instance, in New York, you only need the permission of one side to record a phone call. So if I'm talking to you on the phone, I could be recording the phone call without telling you about it, and that's perfectly okay. In California, that's not the case.
Yeah, in places like California, you have to have permission from both parties to record that phone call. But and that's why
I'm not sure what the policy here would be.
Yeah, and that's why, though in that case, that's still different than like a legal intercept. A legal intercept doesn't need to have the, you know, it doesn't need approval from either party to intercept the phone call because it could be due to national security that they listen into the phone call or that they intercept an email or instant message or whatever it might be.
So, Jeffro, how's that
private messaging is hardly that.
Right, exactly.
So, Jeffro, how's
Jeffro,
that for an answer?
Yeah.
I knew I was going to open up a can of worms if I started it. And,
they were delicious,
you know,
worms.
Since you guys are killing the show, I figured I'd, you know, step in and save you. But at any rate, I'm a user of PHPBB2, or at least I was for quite a while, and I created my own style for it, and I noticed that each PHPBB template file was like each contained HTML code, and I'm wondering if maybe in PHPBB3, how much more the design is controlled from a CSS file aspect rather than every file containing like HTML code.
Marshall Rusty, you're welcome to answer that if you want to. Otherwise, I'll do it.
Sure, it's really as much as the developer of that style wishes to do. I mean, you could do the same thing in PHPBB2. You're perfectly at liberty to make a fully CSS style with using divs, and the same thing like ProSilver. You know, I don't think anyone actually ever did that, but you're welcome to do it. In PHPBB3, you have ProSilver already done, and you can build off of that. I think most people took SubSilver and changed it slowly to their purposes. So I think the same thing people do now with ProSilver, which is already all CSS.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier just because you already have a finished template that you have to build off of.
Yeah, I'd say ProSilver is a lot more CSS controlled than SubSilver 2 is. SubSilver 2, which, remember, both styles are supplied with PHPBB3, and style authors still base most of their styles off of one or the other. They either do a SubSilver 2 based style or a ProSilver based style. A SubSilver 2 based style is not going to use quite as much CSS because the tables take care of a lot of the layout aspects of it. A ProSilver based style is going to use a lot more CSS because it's got to control where the divs are going to land, where it's relying on the CSS to basically create a table out of divs. So that's what makes ProSilver a mostly tableless design.
Yeah, I don't think there are any tables at all in ProSilver. Are there?
Yes. Yeah, there are, like, the member list.
Mm-hmm. Right. Each cell is a table. That's right.
Right, but, like, the topic view, the view topic, the view forum, those are all tableless. There's also some... there's also a lot of tables in the administration control panel as well with the data there. You know, just display. It depends on what kind of information you're displaying. You can create a completely tableless design out of anything if you wanted to, but sometimes a table might be necessary. But where we really hate to see a lot of tables used is nested tables. If you've got nested tables, then something's wrong.
Hmm.
Yeah, like Neothermic, the member list is tabular data.
Well, it's not that something is wrong. It's just that it's not as you're kind of stepping out of.
It could be better.
The whole point of ProSilver, right?
Well, right. But also,
you're missing the point.
Yeah, but also if you've got nested tables, your page is going to load a lot slower than just using one table or a completely tableless design.
Well, that's the big debate, though, isn't it? Some people will say that it's slower. Some people will say that it's faster. Some will say that mostly CSS style is more difficult to work with. which is, I think, in my opinion, just complete crap, because how is it more difficult to work with? I think, if anything, it's much easier. You change one thing, and it changes throughout the board rather than having to go to every file. But, you know, I mean, you'll hear debates about this. I don't think there is actually a clear-cut answer as to where fully CSS styles are better, which is why there's Subsilver, too.
Boy, the internet.
Or maybe that was just there because it was
years, hasn't it? With all this tableless design stuff. 10 years ago, it was like all about tables. So.
Yeah, and the tables are easier to design in, I think. For example, you know, I have friends who do web design, and they literally, if they attempt to design a site in CSS, they keep starting over because they're like, oh, this isn't working, and they keep starting over, and it's like, no, you just got to stick with it. So it's a lot more difficult for them to pick up than a completed table design.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, because it's easier to, for example, organize the cells the way you want them and stuff like that. Whereas CSS, you have to know how to do that.
Marshall, Yuri, I love what you wrote in the chat room. We're talking about tables, we should talk about chairs so they don't feel left out. And as the chair of this podcast, I will have to say that's out of order. I love my Robert's rules, you know. Okay.
Jeffro, did you have any more comments or questions?
Oh, yeah. As far as the mod database is concerned, I see a lot of mods on here that are rated for, you know, 3.0, RC4, RC5. Are you guys going to go through and make them all, check them all over again to make sure they're 3.0 RC4? Whoa. Sorry about that. The alarm went off. Make sure they're 3.0 RC6. And another thing about the mod database is if you install that person's mod, does the user get notified automatically if there's a new update towards that mod?
Eric just left, so I guess David, you're going to have to take the answer to this one.
Okay. Well, basically, we're not going to go through all the mods that have been submitted already and approved. For example, there's still 2.0 mods that are available for 2.0.11, 2.0.12, and
well, some of those are going away. Do you remember Eric says the mod team is about to do a cleanup of some of the older PHP BB2 mods.
But yeah, there's a cleanup.
If PHP BB2.0.23 were to come out, they aren't going to go and recheck all the PHP BB2 mods to make sure that they are working on 2.0.23.
Yeah, we may look at it if a user brings it up and says, hey, this mod is. Doesn't work in this version. If we get a lot of feedback saying, hey, this mod isn't working on that version, then we may ask the user to go ahead and submit an update. But it's usually not grounds to pull it, just based on that. So, and we won't recheck them unless there is a potential security threat that somebody might bring up saying, hey, you know, I had a security vulnerability come from this mod or whatever. And that's why the mod team is involved in the security team, because if there may be a security issue with a mod that might be submitted. And so we look at those. We look at mods that are in development and mods that are in the database that could have potential security threats, and we deal with them accordingly.
And I forgot what I was going to say. Okay. Sorry. Move on.
As far as the user being notified on updates, by default, no. They are not notified on updates. I think that would be a really cool feature if we were able to have that by default in a PHP BB 3. Maybe I'll convince them to do something like that for 3.2 or 3.4. I don't know.
When I was there,
that would be an insane server load, though.
Be doing fine for WordPress.
I don't know why it would be, because you would catch the results. I mean, you wouldn't load up every single time.
Yeah.
Every time you would go to the administration control panel.
I'm too busy nowadays to do any more modding, so it really has not been updated in so long. But I had a mod called Advanced Version Check, which turned into really a system for having mods be able to get updates. Now, it was not something so easy that it was handled through PHPBB on phpbb.com. Indeed, it was something that the mod author had to add support for in their mod. But it had a number of things like that which could check for updates to mods and be able to send emails give notice to the actual administrator on the site whenever a mod was updated. Now, that does have some things. Definitely, it would be a big load for PHPBB, but I haven't gotten any reports of it hurting any regular mod author. Although, obviously, at PHPBB.com, it would be used to the scale. But you also need to remember that PHPBB.com currently gets hit anytime someone goes into their PHPBB2 administration panel. It's contacting PHPBB.com to find out what's the latest version of PHPBB2, and that does not have any caching. I'm not sure if PHPBB3's version check system works a little bit differently. I know that in that case, it's not on the homepage of the administration panel. It's buried in their system or something like that.
Version 3 does not have that caching either, and so it throws up a request every time you go to the maintenance page. Maybe the maintenance or system.
PHPBB.com is definitely able to handle a ton of these kinds of requests because it hasn't been brought down by anything like this so far.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, I guess you guys kind of lost me, to be honest.
It's like a user visiting the site, but they're pulling a small text file. So it's not like they're pulling large images or loading up the index page or something like that.
It's like an RSS
they're
requesting feed, almost.
Yeah, they're requesting basically either an XML or a small text file, which is not going to take up hardly any bandwidth, and those kind of files aren't going to bring down the server even if you have a couple thousand requests a day.
Yeah.
See, I had thought something completely different because you were talking about the question was, do you get notified if there's a new version of the mod? And I think notification email. So what I had thought originally when I said about intense server load was that you would be emailing users when the mod author submits a new version of the mod. Everyone who signed up, so to speak, for the mod itself would either, you know, when you download the mod, it automatically records your what the username was, and then sends a private message or something along those lines, but then eventually sends an email. If you're going to do a version checker like the one with what PHPBB2 and PHPBB3 does, then I think that's a little different. But then you also need some sort of package manager that would have that page where you would be able to see all the mods you have installed, because PHPBB3 has no way of knowing whether or not you installed mods.
Yeah, that means
it's just code.
That makes sense why you said that now. That a handyman has created a sort of mod version check for PHPBB3. I know it's still in development, but it uses an XML. And I think if it caches the result, I don't really know exactly the details of what it does, but if it caches the results, then you're really good, because even if you go back and visit that page multiple times in your session, you're not going to continue to call the PHPBB.com database. And, you know, it's like the cache templates in PHPBB3, where after a certain period of time, a couple hours or whatever, they're refreshed, or a day. I don't remember what it is by default, but after a period of time, they're automatically refreshed.
Let me try.
How would it know what mods you have installed? I mean, is there some sort of, because when you add a mod, you don't add any special notification to PHPBB3 saying, hey, you know, do you have a mod installed? It's just code. It runs just like regular code. Mm-hmm. So it does know.
Right, and I think what you're saying there, if PHPBB doesn't even know which mod you have installed, well, then the whole updating feature is just a moot point.
All right, in that case, this would be what I would say would be good. Instead. Well, definitely, they're probably... Now, this is, and if you listen to the show, you know that a couple of times I've sort of been on the advocate of have PHPBB move, in the long-term future, move towards a plugin system a la WordPress or something like that, which would be able to have that happen. In the meantime, I would say something that could be done in the more short-term future would be perhaps if on PHPBB.com... Like, on the mod's topic, there could be a place where it could perhaps, like, have an RSS feed, which would update whenever a new version is submitted, or have its own email thing, like you mentioned, where someone could opt in to receive notifications when a particular mod is updated, similar to how you can do that for PHP BB3 whenever there's a new update. Well, you're supposed to get a new an email notification for whenever a new PHPBB3 or PHPBB2 update comes out. I haven't gotten one of those for a while. But that would be a more short-term thing I think you could do. Have the administrator who wants to be able to get notified whenever a mod is updated be able to take the initiative and opt into something like that, at least until PHPBB3 can get to the point where it can be aware of, you get my point?
Yeah, I think
certainly, but,
Yeah.
Again, the idea, it would be really cool if the mod author could upload a small XML file to phpbb.com, or if it's automatically added when the mod is validated to the mod database.
Uh-huh.
And then included in their mod would be the code to check, or would be the XML or whatever file. I don't know exactly how that's set up, but it's just you put a file in a certain location for each of the mods that you have installed. And then when you go to the administration control panel for the update check, it will check to see if any of those mods have a new version by querying those text files or those XML files.
And David, you just almost perfectly described my old advanced version check mod for PHPBB2. That's almost exactly what it does.
The other way to do it might be to for mods that aren't integrated with the update check or mod version check would be to have the page, have the administrator enter the username or the mod name or where the mod update itself would detect the mod name, if there's a way to do that, and basically scrape the mod database to find that particular mod by that user or all the users and see if there's an update. That's another way to do it. That might be a little bit more difficult, but it's certainly possible to do it, and that would be good for mods that aren't integrated with that particular update check.
I'll also throw in another quirk. If you've ever used EasyMod for PHPBB2, which is a tool for it's automatically installing mods, if one was to install all their mods using that, or similar to like the auto updater for PHPBB3, that actually could keep a record of all the mods that you have installed on your PHPBB board and then be able to track and find out when one of those particular mods had been updated. So there's another sort of, we got a bunch of different pieces to this puzzle, which we could ultimately be put together with a little work to create a really good system.
Well, that's what I said before the show started about the package manager. I think that's ultimately what we will all head toward, and eventually that's what will actually happen. At least that's my opinion, is you do have a package manager. PHPBB3 already has a diffing engine, and you would be able to... EasyMod is just the more basic version. It works well, but it's just not quite tweaked the way you would want it to work. So, for instance, if you remove some code, you actually have to go to the database and remove the line, the entry for that specific mod that you had installed. So say you install a mod and then you manually uninstall it, EasyMod won't detect that. It'll still be there.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the plus side of this would be if you update PHPBB from, say, RC5 to RC6, and it causes a mod that you installed through the package manager to stop working, then it would just be able to, rather than actually having to go and remove all the code from your files, it would just stop running chunks of the code. So that would be the best way to handle it. But of course, that would take quite a bit of work. Not something that you can do in one day.
It's a long term thing. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, and so we're already working.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, we're already working on the package manager that will hopefully the functionality of it is a lot more expanded than EasyMod and will hopefully take care of some of the annoying aspects of EasyMod that people didn't like. Hopefully it'll kind of remedy those things. In
episode 32, when we had Eric on, he talked a little bit about that, at least as much as he really can without giving away too many secrets, but the code name for that is Blinky. But that'll be coming out. Hopefully... And fairly soon, like the next year or so, we, again, no dates, because, you know, the teams, it'll come out when it comes out. But
yeah, and of course, we'll notify everybody. Everybody will know when that comes out. But
oh, yes.
We're always looking for ways to improve the way we're handling mods and the way people are updating it, because we know that it's important for people to keep their software updated, and that does include their mods.
Yes.
And so, you know, any way that we can do that, if people have ideas, submit them to the mod database feedback topic, sticky topic, in the 3.0 discussion forums on .com, and we take every suggestion into account.
We see, this seems, it, I think we're sort of witnessing, and yes, Yuri, you can say something in a second, but I really think that we have been witnessing a real transition, whereas when PHP BB like 1 or something like that came out, modding really was more like hacking, where you would add a feature by editing code, and that was cool. And then the PHP BB teams decided to standardize that with the mod template and with a team that can actually validate these things, so that there can be a database of features or mods that can be downloaded. And I think we're going to start to see the system sort of move more towards a plugin style system in the long term. Yuri, your comment.
Right. I just, Jeffro just mentioned that what I described is just like the WordPress system. And as I stressed before the show started, it's not. That's not at all what I was talking about. The plugins, the WordPress system works well for WordPress just because it's a small, relatively small software.
Yeah.
For something like PHP BB3 that has 200,000 lines of code, more than that now. That's simply just, it would be impossible, to, not impossible, but it would be more resource intensive than it would be for you to just go in and actually copy paste the way you do it now. It would lose its point. If for those not familiar, WordPress has a kind of custom hook system, mm-hmm. where all the modification, the plugin code is in separate files from, so you don't actually mod the original WordPress files directly. But that's not possible for PHP V3. And I know for a fact that some plugin authors for WordPress aren't too happy with the system, because the hooks are sometimes not in exactly the right place, and then you have to try to work around it, and it ends up making the code more complicated because you have to work around the hook. So you would have to sometimes run, if not properly balanced, run an extra query that is done later on in the page anyway, just because there is no hook right after that, if you understand what I mean.
Well,
right.
It would not be a copy, nowhere near a copy of WordPress system. Obviously, if PHP BB was to do some sort of reform in allowing mods to get in there, it would be PHP BB's own unique system. And we're starting to see some of the first pieces of that with the module system and with hooks and events and things like that that we're starting to see show up in PHP BB3. But it would it's really more of the idea that we'd like to ultimately be able to come up with some way that installing a mod is as easy as uploading a couple of files and without having to edit any core code. And whether that's done through a plugin system or through a module system or through something else, we don't know, but it'll be the next few years as we start sort of discover that path, I think. First job is to get PHP BB3 out.
Well, I know that the plugin system that's been developed for 3.0 is definitely a good step in the right direction. It doesn't allow the full flexibility that I was really hoping for.
Yeah.
But it does allow your site integration and other application integration. You could probably integrate one application into it, one large application. The way I was really hoping that things would work out is where, you know, I know that you couldn't completely do a plugin system like WordPress likes to do, where, you know, you just use your plugins. You don't have to edit any core files for any mod at all. Now, I don't think that'll be the case, but where you can take away the majority of the edits, that's really where you get your benefit. You know, if you can take away at least 80% of the editing of the core files that people have to do, you get a big benefit out of that. And already the module system of PHP BB3 allows us to do that to some extent, because it allows us to add extra modules without editing any core files at all. And that's definitely a step in the right direction. We're going in the right direction, but I think we still have a ways to go.
But if you want to change, for instance, the way the modular system works, then you still have to change code.
Yeah.
So this is kind of my main point. You win some, you lose some. So only things that you specifically make modular are modular.
If it's open source, anyone can change code. Heck, on my blog, I've done so many hacks to WordPress, you wouldn't believe. So it's open source, so anyone ultimately can change the code. This whole thing about plugin system really is more of having a standard so that it's easy for these things to be extended or enhanced or add new features. But in short, anyone can really change it to get anything they want out of it. It's all as long as it stays GPL open source.
Certainly.
All right. Jeffrey,
you provided some excellent topics for us.
I kind of think we should start to get a little bit long, and I might want to start closing the show up. Thank you for bringing those questions to our attention. And we definitely provided some good discussion, and hopefully David MJ will be on a future episode.
But hey, we enjoyed having Marshall Rusty here.
Oh, yeah. And Marshall and Yuri, thanks again for coming back to sort of offer some of your insights on these topics.
Thanks for having me.
And we had about 5 team members join us throughout the episode. David, you are a team member, so you count in that. But Eric, Henry on the development team, Yuri, and of course, Neothermic joined us today as well, either on the phone or in the chat room. So we've had a pretty good episode. Now, if only we had the man of the hour here, but oh well. Let's move on to the mod of the week. Actually, David, would you like to do this mod of the week, and I can do the style?
Sure. The mod of the week is the Notify Admin on Registration for 3.0 by... I forgot to write the mod author down.
It's Amek. A-M-E-E-C-K. So Amek? I don't know.
And he's actually, I believe he's one of the translators as well.
Oh, there you go.
He is a translator, I think, for Czech, yeah. Czechoslovakian translator, I believe.
It's not Czechoslovakia. It's either Czech Republic or Slovakia.
You're right. Yeah, I get that. Those parts.
It's been 13
okay.
years, David. He's the Czech.
Yeah, he's the Czech translator he is a Czech translator for PHPBV3.
We'll check up on that to make sure it's correct. Okay, now I want to get emails from Czech listeners.
This mod is the Notify Admin on Registration. Basically, what it does is it, when a new user registers on the board, an email with basic user information is sent to the administrators of the board, not just the founder, but the administrators.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked at the details of what that mod does, but there's a short explanation for you. It basically just gives the administrators a quick notification about who the users are that join the board. Not something that's necessarily recommended if you have a huge board where you get
mod is definitely not installed on phpbb.com.
somewhere you would get dozens and dozens of new users a day.
Yes, otherwise the team members would be screaming, wouldn't you, Neil? Right? The team leaders, that is.
leaders would be, yes, because they're administrators.
Yes. this is a great mental picture forming in my mind, but go ahead.
Yeah, and so anyway, that mod is available for 3.0. That's validated to the mod database. The link is in the chat room and will also be in the show notes.
Yes, link is going in the chat. I love how Neothermic says we get that the team leaders get enough PMs as it is. So
yeah, actually, that's an email. It notifies on emails, not private.
I'm sure
messages.
They get enough emails too. So we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can check that out. It'll be in the show notes as well. The style of the week, I went over to. Oh, Neothermic says the emails are even worse. I can believe that. Yeah. I don't think there's any team member that has their email address published on phpbb.com, because that would be almost equivalent to, political suicide. So, oh, okay. Yuri does. Oh, I take that back. Unfortunately, yes. Okay, so the style of the week, I went to PHPBB Hacks for this style, and this style is from an author we've mentioned before, but I just keep on mentioning him because he does such great styles. The style is called PlayStation, and it's by Scott Stubblefield, who I've mentioned on the show a couple of times. The style is really, I'll assume it looks like a PlayStation type colors. I've never actually done PlayStation. I never actually done video games, but it's a pretty cool thing. It's mostly dark blue and black, so it's one of those darker themes. So it probably won't appeal to everybody, but I thought it's kind of cool. It definitely makes use of the little Joy game controller. I won't call it a joystick, but it's a game controller type thing. You can tell I don't do video games, and I have such a with this.
Same here. It's based on the Subsilver 2 type style.
Uh-huh.
So that gives everybody an idea, of course, what the colors change to, like a darker blue, a navy blue, and black glass sort of look.
Yeah, but it's a pretty cool good style, and Scott Stubblefield, he does excellent work. You can see a lot of his other cool styles, including my favorite Mac and Scott style, which is realdealstubblefield.com for those.
Link is in the chat room, and it will also be on the show notes.
That's published. Right. Okay, the answer to the trivia question, and I know, but this is not fair for our non-team member users. But then again, the trivia question, however hard I can make it, with things like Google and PHPBB.com out there, it's probably pretty. It's really more of a scavenger hunt. So maybe I should make these questions more of a scavenger hunt. But as for a reminder, the question I asked about an hour and a half ago was, name the date, including the year, that former development team leader Paul Owen announced a new pricing structure for PHPBB. And indeed, on August 27th, 2003, in the announcements form, he had a topic, new pricing structure, saying that PHPBB2.x would cost $0, database abstraction would cost $0, contributed mods would cost $0, and support would cost $0. And summed it up by saying, while other boards alter their licensing, change their pricing structure, reform under new names, PHPBB remains as it was 3 years ago, completely free.
Yeah, and we did, there was an added bonus thrown in.
Yes, Subsilver, a $95 value, absolutely free.
Yeah.
And that goes to James Atkinson, who decided to throw that little bonus in. Now you can get ProSilver, which is like a $300 value, completely free. Although, that's partly because Subsilver now has probably lost its value. You know, inflation, Subsilver now is about $20, but what can you say?
We'll probably need to release a new pricing structure when gold is released for 3.0.
PHPBB3 gold, $0. PHPBB3 silver, $0. PHPBB3 bronze, $0. And of course, the special bonus with extra features, everything you could ever imagine, PHPBB platinum for $0. You know, you get the idea. Okay, we should end the show. All right, be sure to check out phpbbweekly.net is our website where you can find show notes for this episode and all of our other episodes, 33 of them now. Boy, that's a lot. It boggles the mind. And of course, there's a form there. You can submit questions if you aren't able to be on the show when we are live and all that stuff. David, 34. MJ, we will try to get him on a future episode. In the meantime, thank you so much to our excellent live participants who really helped to save the show. This is why I love doing it live. Our next episode, PHPBB Weekly episode 35, that will be next Saturday, October 20th at the same time, noon Eastern, 1600 UTC. David will be, and his brother Francis, also known as Handyman, as far as I know, will be co-hosting the show while I do a really, really stressful PSAT test.
Yeah, oops, the secret is out.
PSAT.
And we would like to thank Jeffro once again for joining us. Thanks, Jeffro.
And Yuri. Also mentioning. And, go ahead. Yeah.
And he must have muted his mic. And also, Yuri, Marshall Rusty from the PHPB teams, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, I'll also mention that...
Thanks for having me, too.
PHPB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at... And you can find other great technology podcasts like this at techpodcasts.com. So that's going to wrap up the episode of PHPB Weekly. Have a great week, everyone. Look out for RC6, and we'll see you next week. Bye.